You may be seated. Sometimes we get a little glimpse. The other night, our son Hunter had come up to me and said, "Dad, you're listening to a song sometimes and you just see something." He was listening to a song about the Lion of Judah, and he was just saying, "When I listen to that song, I see God on his throne surrounded by angels." And this here song, that one, woo, for me, it's sort of like chills, you know. And we get just that little glimpse, but someday we get to see the whole works and we get to be a part of it. I don't know about you, but I'm going to be in awe. I don't even know if I'll be able to sing, but we're going to. And I just so look forward to it. So songs like that, you know, I love music. It just adds something. Many times that words can't. It can say things that words can't. I guess that's part of art, right? Paintings, poetry. Songs, they can say things that words can't adequately express. So thank you, Lord, for music. Thank you for poetry, for art, and all these other ways that we can try to just paint a little bit of a picture of what's waiting for us. You and all your glory. So welcome, whether you're here in person or online this morning. Let's join together, praise God, and learn from him with our readings.
First reading today is from 1 John chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. If you see any brother or sister commit a sin that does not lead to death, you should pray and God will give them life. I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I am not saying that you should pray about that. All wrongdoing is sin, and there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who is born of God keeps them safe, and the evil one cannot harm them. The second reading is from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 14. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace.
Please stand if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel comes from us, the book of Matthew, chapter 18, verses 7 through 9. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to stumble. Such things must come, but woe to the person through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. Here ends the reading. You may be seated. We have children's church available. I don't know if any kids, if you want to go to children's church, you want to hang out here. Your choice. Beth, anybody else wants to go to children's church, feel free. Wonderful. Get a chance sometime. Thank Marcy and Jill and Beth and Maya for doing that. It's great that kids can go out, learn at a level that makes sense to them. It's just a wonderful thing. And the parents get a chance to concentrate too. Lord, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would open it up to us today in a new way, that it would speak. You know, it's the living word, Lord. So let this living word speak to us as we encounter it, and that we may come away changed. Amen. Well, we're drawing near to the conclusion of 1 John. We've been working our way through it for quite a while now. And today, John addresses the topic of sin, something that we're all familiar with. Anybody here never encountered sin before, never been tempted by sin? Okay, we can all identify with that, right? Okay, so excellent, excellent. And this is another tough one to understand and a tough one to speak on, at least parts of it for sure. You know, sin I'm familiar with. I can tell you about that all day long. But here we got different types of sin apparently, huh? It starts out, if anyone sees his brother commit a sin that does not lead to death, he should pray and God will give him life. And that's great. We see someone that's plagued by sin, troubled by sin, one thing we can do is pray for them. Now, if they're wanting and willing to overcome their sin, we can work with them as well, right? We can let God work through us to help them overcome that. And that's a wonderful thing. Other people are totally caught up in their sin, maybe don't see it as sin, and are unwilling to repent, at least right now. But we can still pray for them. That's one thing you can always do. And that's what John is recommending here. If anyone sees his brother, now this could be a brother in Christ, a brother in faith, or it could be, you know, someone of the world, but I'm thinking it's more perhaps the brother in Christ, that's what he tends to use throughout. And we do sin, of course. If you see a fellow believer or anyone sinning, hey, pray for them. And God will give him life. That's great. Now the next part, I refer to those whose sin does not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I'm not saying that you should pray about that. Okay, a sin that leads to death. What is that? And he doesn't come out and say it. Well, we do know that all sin is rebellion against God. It's rebelling, it's maybe even temporarily rejecting him, choosing not to follow in his way, but to stray off. And God is, of course, always willing to bring us back, get us back on track to follow his will. And that's where we should be. But this is something that's common to all of us because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I mean, that's a fact. Every single person that has lived and will live is going to sin. That's our nature. Do you have to teach a little kid how to sin? It's built in. It's preloaded software, right? It's not an option. This comes as standard equipment. Yeah, we know that. And absolutely, we've all been there. But are there different degrees? Are there different levels of sin? That's a question that I've been thinking about and struggling with and asking people all week. We studied it Tuesday morning in the text study. That was great. I sent an email message to a couple that I know. They're both ordained and asked them about that. We had a wonderful conversation about that over the internet, just on sort of a message string like an email there. It was great. And we come to the conclusion that we don't really know, and nor do the biblical scholars. Some of these verses in Peter and John are just, we're still not 100% sure, which I find fascinating. Now, throughout history, different classifications of sin, you can look at like the Roman Catholic Church, from which, you know, the Lutherans came after the Reformation. But way back in the 6th century, Pope Gregory I decided that some sins are worse than others. We're going to call them deadly ones. I had to look these up because obviously not familiar with them. They are lust, gluttony, greed, sloth, wrath, envy, and pride. Most of these are internal sins. It's something that someone can be sinning internally with no outside symptoms. Of course, all sin starts internally, starting in the mind, and then can evolve into something else worse that affects others. So can we classify sins? It would seem to our human understanding that, you know, a little white lie is different than premeditated murder, where you intentionally plot and scheme to take someone's life. But are they both sin? Yes. So are there different types of sin? It's all the same in God's eyes, I suppose. Jill had one time showed me this thing on the internet. It showed the skyline of a city, and you saw some buildings were taller and some were smaller, and it's sort of like how we see sin. But God from above, what does he see? Just roofs of buildings. They don't have different heights, do they? Interesting way to think of it. We know that there are the one unforgivable sin, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Here he talks about deadly sins. Are these physically deadly or are they spiritually deadly? We have examples in 1 Corinthians of people taking communion improperly and physically dying. We have Ananias and Sapphira sinning and dying physically. Of course, sin leads to spiritual death as well. So a lot of questions here, a lot of fascinating questions. But again, we can agree that sin is bad. It's not God's will. It's our rebellion, our rejection of his will, thinking we know better many times, which we don't. We got to learn the hard way. Sin can be internal versus external. You can be sinning inside yourself. No one even really knows it. Or it can be external, like I said, like murdering someone. That's, you know, outside of yourself. It can go either way. You can have sins of omission and sins of commission. And sins of omission is not doing something you should have done. Omitting is the right word there. And committing, then, would be sins of commission, doing something that you should not. Either way, it's sin. We're not following God's perfect will. If we look at the Hebrew for sin, it's kata, in Greek, hamartia. They both basically mean the same thing, to miss the mark, to fall short. And as I was pondering that, God just gives you ideas occasionally, inspiration. And as one who does a fair amount of shooting, I thought of target practice. I also do quite a bit of bow hunting, so I thought of, you know, bow hunting as well. These are field points, not broadheads, so. Yeah. But with God, He would desire that we hit that bullseye every time, that we're boom, right there. Okay? But we miss. We miss the mark. Again, sin is missing the mark. Sometimes we miss the bullseye just by a little bit. Okay? Sometimes we miss it by a whole lot. But the point is, did those other two miss? Yeah. Doesn't matter if it's a little bit or a lot, they did miss. Okay, I might also add that I got this target to use, so all these misses that you see around here are not mine, okay? And also, Andrew shot this one a whole lot more than I have. So I can, okay. But, yeah, God would hit that center part every single time. But we don't. Occasionally we hit it, right? You know, we follow His will. And, hey, as we practice, do we get better? Yeah, we're going to sin less. We're still going to sin. And maybe it won't be so far off the mark. Maybe it'll be a little bit closer, but still not in the center ring. So yeah, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and we end up missing the mark. Again, that's what it says. Now, it doesn't matter if we sin a little bit or if we sin a lot. The really cool thing is God desires us to be perfect, but we cannot. He is perfect. He would hit that center every time, and He'd be Robin Hooding these, where they'd be sticking in there into the other arrow. Because He's just that perfect. And He is so perfect that nothing with any imperfection can be in His presence. Are any of us perfect? No, far from it. As hard as we try, we cannot be perfect on our own. We're human. There's no way we're going to hit that bullseye every time. But the beauty of it is that Jesus, what He'll do is take those sins, He'll take those misses, and He'll remove them. So when God looks on us, all He sees is the bullseye. No, praise God. As Jesus came to take away our misses, to take away our sins, that we can be good enough to stand before God and live with Him for eternity. I don't know. It sort of makes sense to me when I see it. Maybe it's not the perfect example, but I know when I'm out there target shooting this summer, I'll probably be thinking about that a fair amount. You know, it's a good reminder. Next time you're out shooting or something like that, target shooting, just think of that. And keep practicing so that you may, you know, hit the mark occasionally and at least get closer to it. So Jesus' role in that. Again, we cannot be perfect, but He is. I'm not going to say He was. I'm going to say He is. Right? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Alrighty. So, yeah, there may be different levels of sin. We're not still 100% sure on that. Deadly sin, you know, blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, unworthy communion. Yeah, the rebellion of Korah where they sinned and the earth opened up and took them away, you know. Not really sure on that, but again, we know that sin is rejection of God and His offer. And that He sees the little misses and the big misses, they're both sin. Sin is sin is sin. Right? It's all the same. But the good news is found in verse 18 here. 17, all wrongdoing is sin. There we go. Sin is sin is sin. Doesn't matter. 18, we know that anyone born of God, and that's us if we have accepted Jesus,
We have been reborn. We have new life, born again. Anyone born of God does not continue to sin. Now, we're going to sin. We're going to have little slip-ups, a little whoops, you know, type things. But we do not live anymore in deliberate opposition to God and His will. We have been changed. We are a new creation in Christ. The old has gone. The new has come. We are a new person. Yeah, we're going to slip up, but we're not deliberately living against God anymore. And the one who is born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him. The evil one can make life tough for you. The evil one can put stumbling blocks in your way, can sow seeds of doubt, can bring up events and people against you. But the evil one cannot harm him. Ultimately, if you are in God's hands, your future is secure. You have nothing to worry about. We still do, of course. And this life is going to have obstacles. Absolutely. And sometimes the better you're doing in faith, the more obstacles that come up against you, too. In warfare, you're going to attack the enemy's strong points. You see him building up, advancing one spot. You're going to attack that. Our enemy is the same way. He sees a threat to what he's doing. He's going to bring forces against that. So sometimes when it seems like everything's coming against you, it's maybe because you're doing so well in God's will. That's a pretty cool thought. Take comfort in that when things are coming against you. Because he's attacking the greatest threat. And that's you sometimes. When you're submitted to God and he's using you. It's a beautiful thing. So God protects us. Now sin will still try to separate us from God. We draw close to God. That's a great thing. But sin's going to try to drive that wedge. It's going to try to separate us from God. The enemy is very experienced in this, of course. And we have a choice to follow the sin, or we have a choice to follow God, ultimately. And even when you've chosen to follow God, you know, sin is still going to tempt you. But as Paul wrote in Romans, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body. It's going to be there all around us and within us, but don't let it reign. Don't give it power, don't give it authority to control your actions. Let God control your actions instead, choosing Him. So don't let sin reign in your body so that you obey its evil desires. If it's reigning over you like a king, you're going to obey it, right? But no, we follow God instead. Furthermore, do not offer the parts of your body to sin, as Dalen read, as instruments of wickedness. The parts of your body, including your mind, I would suggest. Because that's where a lot of sin is going to start. You get a thought, or else you look at something and go, Starts as a thought. After a while, it can start to take over your mind, and it can even consume you. We have to be wary of that. If the sin is getting too bad, confess it to God or to another and repent. Turn back to Him. May we always have an awareness of when we're starting to lose control and let sin have its way. Lord, bring it up to us. Show us when that's happening, God. Give us that tap on the shoulder, that knock upside the head, whatever. Bring it to our awareness and our realization that we can repent and turn back to you and be free from that. So do not offer up the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life. He's done that for us, brought us from death to life. As a result, we are thankful, and a part of the thankfulness is offering ourselves up to Him so that He can control us. And that's a good thing. If sin is controlling someone, we see the fruits of that. But if God is controlling to someone and they've submitted to Him, letting Him take control, not doing what we think is right, as we're so tempted to do many times, but following in His ways, trying to discern His will, we see the fruits of that as well. Galatians 5 lists them. It's a beautiful thing. For sin shall not be your master, because you're not under law, but under grace, God's grace. Not mastered by sin, not controlled by sin. It does not reign in your body or your mind. All right, still there. So how do we protect ourselves from it? Because it's still there. It's still going to say, hey, come on, check this out, right? It's going to be this temptation type thing. Whispering in your ear, bringing up thoughts in your head. Well, Jesus spoke of that in the gospel today. talked about the things that cause people to sin. Verse 7, woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. What are these things? Might be a thought, might be an action, might be a memory. We have to learn to identify those and avoid them. Avoid those thoughts that will grow and then can possibly consume. We have to take preventative measures to insulate ourselves from that. Think of someone that's maybe recovering from alcoholism or something. They're in the early stages. Is it good for them to go to a bar or walk by it? Probably not. To go to the liquor store? Uh-uh. Instead, they should be headed to a meeting where they're going to get with like-minded people and be built up and be supported in the right way. And you can find that here at Shalom, too. People are going to bring you, build you up in the right way, going to support you, going to guide you. It's a wonderful thing. Let us never tempt others. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin, but such things must come. Indeed, they will. You're going to be faced with temptation. But woe to the man through whom they come. Let us never be a part of tempting others. Okay, we've all experienced that. See it out at the school with kids especially. You know, someone's, hey, we're going to go to the bathroom and vape. You want to join us or something, right? Let us never lead people down the wrong path. To lead them into sin, into destruction, or to cheer them on in it too. You know, you would not offer an alcoholic a drink and encourage them to drink it. In the same way, we should not be supporting people that have misunderstandings of, you know, gender and attraction and things like that. To celebrate that, to support them, and that would be wrong. That's not loving. That is not loving when you're cheering them on to sin and say, yeah, go on down the path of destruction, you know. And no, it's not. So let us never be the ones that would do that, to encourage others to sin, to tempt them, to be used by the devil in that way. The consequences are serious, and that's what he says here. It's better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than have two hands or two feet be thrown into eternal fire. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off. He's not saying just give it a slap on the wrist, right? No, cut it off. Whatever is causing you, tempting you to sin, cut it off. Get away from it. Get it out of your life. Now, we're not talking about physically cutting parts of your body off, but this denotes the seriousness of it. Don't go there, and for goodness sakes, don't lead others in that way. Sin is real. Temptation is real. It's different for each of us. We've all got our weaknesses. The devil knows very well what they are. We'll continue to work on us. But the good news is, according to 1 Corinthians 10:13, we'll never be tempted beyond our ability to resist. God will always provide a way out. So no matter how tempting that sin is, no matter how big and controlling it may seem or be, God does offer a way out if we choose it. It's there. So sin is real. Temptation is real. But our God is bigger. Amen.